Hey, I'm Brett Connors, host of Advantage Connors, an ongoing conversation between myself and my pops, tennis legend Jimmy Connors. Each week, we talk about the worlds of tennis, golf, gambling, and anything else that pops into our head. We love to interview athletes, comedians, and friends. Listen to new episodes every week on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're having a great week. Looking forward to a great weekend. Today is an ALN classic episode. That's right. We're throwing it back to the old days of the podcast. We had some bangers, some hitters, some legends come through the show. So we thought we'd dig deep and throw it back to some of those insane, hilarious, fun episodes. So enjoy the hell out of this episode. Of course, follow the podcast at ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Enjoy the episode. Enjoy your week.
Enjoy the special episode with Harlan Williams.
Hey, it's Herbert, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Here we go. Oh yeah, we are here on the Harland Highway, the only highway you need to know about.
The only highway where the hedges are being trimmed right outside.
Yeah, can you hear it?
Oh yeah.
I can hear a chainsaw and a leaf blower and I think a hairdryer.
I don't panic until I hear someone screaming.
Yeah, right.
Boy, hairdryer, chainsaw.
Leaf blower
and chainsaw. Now, if you were playing a video game and you had to choose one of those as your main weapon, what would you go with
first? I like anything with the word blow in it, so I'd go leaf blower all the way.
Let's go through the top five best compound words with blow in it. Ready?
Okay.
We already opened with leaf blower.
Leaf blower.
I'll go next. Blowtorch.
Blowtorch.
I'm a sucker for a good torch.
Yeah, and a good blow.
Any, you know what the best is?
What?
If you're really into this, there's a category on Pornhub where you can get torched by a blowtorch while getting a blowjob.
Whoa.
Three.
How much does that cost, you think?
$250 an hour.
Okay, so we have three?
Yeah, torch, job, and blower.
Okay, so the other blow I would go to defer to is, not a lot of people know this.
Please.
But you've heard of Steve Jobs, obviously.
Sure.
So his younger brother.
Yeah, the Big Mac.
Yeah, his younger brother, his name is Blow. So Blow Jobs. Yeah.
Can you imagine being in Steve Jobs' shadows, A, and your first name is Blow?
Blow, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And teasing. And what did he get teased morpho?
Yeah. Mofo? Okay, playa, whatever. Wow. Guy goes urban on my ass in the middle of a Steve Blowjobs.
I got inspired by this spaceman. Okay, what?
What's the fifth one?
No, wait, what does Blowjobs get teased morpho?
Whoa, dude, what's a flair? Flair wants to play. Flair got
what does he get teased more for?
His speech impediments? God. Hello, DeVry. Yeah, we've got Johnny Dyslexia on Channel 12 over here. He's not even on a phone. He's on a TV. Channel 12.
What does he get teased more for? Does he get teased
No, you can't do it. Now no. You got to say, what does he get teased mofo? Yeah, I'm not letting... You've gone too far.
Now I got to lean into it. Yeah. What does he get teased mofo? His lack of production in the technological world.
Right.
Because of, like, his family's like, your brother made the iPad. The iPod. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Just walk around being named after human suck-offs. And he's like, I did make a toaster last week that can also play music. And they're like, get the fuck out of here.
I don't think they say get the fuck out. I think they go, that blows. Because that's his name.
And that stings even harder.
That stings.
All right. So blowjob. We got blowjobs, the guy. Leaf blower, blowjobs, the act. And blowtorch.
Blowtorch. What's the last one? Do you want to say it or do I?
It's your show.
Why don't I toss up the initials?
Great.
and see if you grab it. And then it's like we do it together, like we're a couple of blowers holding hands. BH.
Bathhouse.
No, that doesn't have the word blow in it.
Oh. Blow.
Can I give you a hint?
Yeah. Blowhole.
Hey-o. Hey,
all right. Circle gets a square.
Circle gets a blow.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Ray, in case you're wondering who the Wonderlust over here is. Johnny Wonderlust. Look at this guy. Adam Ray, comedian, actor, buddy, model, inventor of the coconut cream pie.
Thank you. Thank you. We just came out with two new sizes, extra large and fatty supreme.
Wow. Fatty supreme. Yeah,
we're not beating around the bush.
Wow.
And if you show your bush, you get 50 cents off.
Wow. Yeah. What, just what America needs, more like big
gluttonous items.
Yeah.
I once went to a KFC. My buddy and I got real baked. We got hired for $250 off Craigslist to perform at someone's rehearsal dinner. Their wedding.
A wedding, okay.
So they go, we saw some of your YouTube clips. Will you come write a song for us and do stand-up and songs at our rehearsal dinner? A real roll of the dice. We are not even, we're very green in the comedy world. We don't have our legs at all yet.
This was when you were just starting.
I just graduated college in 2005.
What college? Just because people always want
to
know.
University of Southern California, fight on Trojans. Now people are probably going, whoa, that's an expensive college to go to. It was. I just finished paying off my loans 3 years ago. My single mom got financial aid and some financial assistance from my GPA and from being a Jew. If you don't believe me, I'll post a circumcised photo on my Instagram at Adam Ray Comedy or circumcision.com or harlandhighway.com. All three of those have my penis on them. So there is,
boy, are you sure you didn't get a degree in communications? Because that answer did not shut the fuck off. I mean, that thing kept rolling like a dildo down the side of Brokeback Mountain. Oh, it just bounced.
They let that shot in, by the way.
They did?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's like the Starbucks cup in the back of Game of Thrones.
Oh, right.
Like, people were like, was that dildo rolling down the side of the road supposed to be there?
Right.
But Gyllenhaal was an EP, and he had Final Cut. So.
Oh, wow. Final Cut, Gyllenhaal. He says, just after a circumcision joke. Unreal. Right, unbelievable.
So, we perform at this thing. We'll take a sip break.
Yes.
And we go up to KFC. We get just stoned out of our minds. And we go, let's take our $250 and go to KFC.
$250.
And blow it all on KFC.
No, you didn't. Yeah. You bought $250 worth of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
Come on.
Swear to God. His roommate at the time was having people over. And so we were like, let's roll up to the, like, shindig, the Friday night party with $250 for the KFC. We know they're going to be stoned and drunk. We're stoned. We were laughing so hard because they probably made 9 trips through the drive-thru window.
Yeah.
The last trip, and this is the whole point of the story, 2 buckets of soda. We said, give us your largest sodas.
Yeah.
They had handles on them, and it was a bucket of soda. And we started laughing so hard, and then the driver was just like, you guys are so baked. And I go, what gave it away? The big drinks? She goes, yeah, that or the 9 trips I've made to the window to give you more food.
Yeah.
Some fucking stoners.
Dude, what you probably don't realize is that KFC doesn't have that much chicken.
No.
And they probably sent one of the workers to go out in the back and hit a few squirrels over the head with a spatula.
That's what that was.
And those last, like, long pieces of chicken with the tail. Yeah, that was
that wasn't
a breast.
Original.
No, that wasn't a breast. Was it wasn't a quick. It was a rodent. Yeah, dude.
That's probably why she threw in extra sauces to try to dilute the taste, because she didn't want us to know.
Dude, I did that once, and I'm not trying to name drop, but it's funny to the story. There was a time when I worked over at DreamWorks Animation Studio.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know why, but for some reason they put my office, I was developing an animated movie, they put my office 3 down from Jeffrey Katzenberg.
Ooh.
So I'd wake up in I'd show up in the morning, and, you know, Jeffrey, and I was like, hey, morning, Jeffrey. You know, and he's like, hey, how you doing? Like, it was the most bizarre thing. And as I got to know Jeffrey, Christmas came around, and I thought, I gotta get a present from my boss,
sure.
But I don't want to seem like a suck up, so I'll get something fun. And through our conversations, he had mentioned that for some reason he loved Jack in the Box. you know, the fast food, like burger chain.
Yeah.
And he has kids, and I guess they loved it. And I thought, okay, as a goof, I'll go to Jack in the Box and get him like $300 gift certificate, you know? So I do.
But that's a great gift. It also is like funny. It's thoughtful.
Yeah.
And it's also not going too big.
Yeah.
He's like, easy, man. I'm married.
Hang on. I hear the is that a leaf blower, a hair dryer, or the most painful blow job on planet Earth?
From Edward Scissorhands.
Wow. Now talk about a circumcision. Can you? That guy could do like 12 kids at once. He could do a kindergarten. Just be in and out, dude. Meat flaps flying everywhere like pork rinds.
How about a drive-through circumcision?
Oh, wow. And you don't even have to completely come to a stop.
Is it the same thing if you ask for a supersize?
I guess if you're a baby with a big honker. God, imagine you're a baby and your honker's bigger than you.
Yeah. Do you think the rabbi gets like intimidated or like offended that or jealous that he like cuts a little, he does a weird thing? Almost like if, what's a good analogy here? I don't know. If if like someone comes in to get a tattoo and they're a little rude and the guy's like, you know, he fudges something on the inscription or the subscription. You know, he does something funky with the tattoo.
Yeah.
Like the rabbi saw a baby with a huge, huge wean. Would he be like, oh, you know what? I'm going to do a little something fun on this one because I don't like you coming in here with this big dick baby energy.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of taking control of the room or the synagogue.
Do you think rabbis get jealous if a baby's got a huge wiener? And this is for everyone in the room.
This is for everyone, especially the men. But I think they would get jealous. And my dad was a bit of a prankster, and they left just to mess with our priest. We didn't do it with a rabbi. We did it with a priest, which is like a Jewish priest.
Yes.
Priest, rabbi. We left my umbilical cord attached for the first 4 months. So it was about this long. And we had it trailing out of the diaper, and he thought I had like a giraffe wiener, you know? And he cut about 3 feet off, but he couldn't get it all.
No.
You know, I was skipping on the way out of the church.
You had a personal jump rope.
I certainly did. But anyway, so I pull up to the drive-thru.
Went to buy it at the live.
I did it at the drive-thru. Yeah. I go, can I get a $300 gift certificate? They did it.
That's not a normal purchase.
Right. It's not. I get home. That in an hour later, my credit card's been canceled. So I phone, I go, what's going on? They go, Mr. Williams, somebody just spent $300 at Jack in the Box. I go, that was me. And no, nobody does that. Nobody eats that much Jack. I go, it was a gift certificate. So I thought that was funny.
Oh my God. Well, good to know that the credit card company is looking out for you. But also, now think about the guy that does that and there's no fraud. Interception.
Yeah.
And they just go, no, we know that you're definitely doing that, fatty.
Right. It's like they made a food judgment.
Yeah.
Like they were like, that food's not good enough for someone to spend $300. Now, if this
also, it's not safe.
The food's
there's only
not
so many squirrel clits you can eat, Mr.
Squirrel what now?
Clits. It was that KFC that's serving those up. Remember you said that half of my KFC order was.
I didn't know that squirrels had clits, though.
Oh, you need to Google more stuff.
Squirrel clit is what you're saying.
They're also opening at Coachella next year.
Oh, it's a band too.
Yeah.
Speaking of weird names, have you ever had a nickname? Adam Ray, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, let me hit some applause and some Adam Ray, comedian, stand-up comedian, friend, buddy, actor. You're doing a lot of acting now. We'll get into that. I want to ask you, have you ever had a nickname? Did you have a nickname growing up? What?
Growing up, when I was a chubba-lub, I had nicknames such as Jello Jiggler. This is pre-pudding pops.
Yeah. Jello Jiggler.
Yeah. And I remember the first kid that called me that, I went back to him.
Yeah.
And he didn't find it funny. Yeah. And I was like, all right, I was trying to fight fire with fire. I was trying to dilute some of the severity of the insult.
Yeah. Wait, before we get, were you a big
I was probably, I think.
What?
I remembered, I want to say 173 or 4 in fifth grade.
So you would have been about 11?
Yeah. That's big.
That is big, yeah. And what was the nickname again?
Jello Jiggler was probably JG. Or Penis and Tits Kid was another one that was... No, that was one that I...
You gave yourself.
I gave myself to kind of get ahead of it.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. You caused yourself childhood trauma to get ahead of it. Smart. So yeah.
The classic, just Ray. There were three Adams in my sixth grade class.
Yeah.
So Ray was what a lot of people call me. And then Ray from the Ghostbusters was popular. So then people would go, who are you going to call? I was like, I don't know, man. I don't have a cell phone. I don't know where this bit's going. And then I'd get A Ray. That was what I got in college, was just A Ray.
A Ray's kind of cool.
It's cool, but I've never referred to myself as that. In college,
I like A Ray.
It is cool. It's almost like A Rod or J Lo or, you know.
It sounds like a cool brand of sunglasses, too.
Yeah.
You go get your A Rays. It's going to be, there's a solar eclipse today. Get the A Rays on, player. Yeah.
We've got them in all shapes and sizes, even for the.
Yeah. Would I be allowed to give you like a nickname?
Please. It's open season.
And you can give me one after, but I'll go first. How about Flunderbunch McGlundlebunk? Does that do anything for you or no?
We don't even need a follow-up. That's perfect.
It works.
Yep. Because I've also I've been very envious of the Flunderbunch family.
Yeah.
For decades.
Yeah.
So just to be mentioned in the same sentence.
Good. Okay. Flunderbunch bundle gunks?
It makes me think of the original Honey Bunches of Oats before they got it right.
Yeah.
They were like, what if we call it Flundle Bunch Grundle? What was it? Grundle Crunch?
I don't know. I don't remember. It's a very hard and difficult linguistic nickname. And I should have just gone with something short and easy.
The best nicknames are tough to remember.
Yeah. Okay. You got one for me?
Sure. How about, so we remember Captain Crunch.
Yeah.
One of the most famous captains.
Of course. He was the theater of war, shock and awe in Iraq and Iran.
Sure.
And Vietnam.
Arguably one of the most famous captains.
Yeah.
Vietnam, people don't remember that he was over there fighting the Crunchberry War.
Yeah.
And so we're going Captain Crunch, and you've got a, just your overall aura and energy is commanding. You've got a presence on stage, on and off. You're always looking to salute at the wrong times, right? When you jump into a pool, you've always got a fun catchphrase locked and loaded, right? You've got quips and trips and slips and clits just ready at the whim for any squirrel family reunion.
Yeah.
So I'd say we're going Captain Queef.
Captain Queef.
Yeah. Because I think Queef is, when I think of Harlan Williams, I think of fun. I think of lightheartedness. I think of joy. I think of airy farts.
Hairy farts? What the hell? This might be the worst nickname ever. Wait, just so people know, what is a queef?
So a queef...
Some people don't know this term. I'm not even sure I know what a queef is.
By the way, parents, this is when you want to take your hands off the kids' ears. A queef, from Webster's Dictionary, defined as a fart, not from the butt, but from the other place down there where sex is the preferred region for penetration.
It's a woman.
That's Webster's Dictionary. That's not mine.
It's a woman fart.
It's a woman fart. I guess that would be.
Wow.
I guess that would be the better way to say it. It's a woman fart, not from the butt.
So I'm Captain Queef. Can we? Do you know what it sounds like at all? Just so I can kind of.
I appreciate you asking because I knew you were going to ask me that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've prepared a couple options for
you. Okay. Okay.
So, because of course every captain wants a theme song,
right?
Some sort of harmonious celebratory. When you enter the room, what do they play?
Well, yeah.
They play the queef noise for Captain Queef. So here's a couple different options for you.
Was that one?
Yeah.
Okay, I just thought maybe you were getting ready to do it you're exhaling, but that was the first queef.
It's got an exhale quality.
Okay, but I did hear a little like the lips flapping.
Flabby, yeah.
Okay.
Here's another one. Oh, wow. And your third option is probably the one that most people go with.
Yeah.
And it's the most recognizable.
Dude, that sounded like if I was at a Red Roof Inn in Bakersfield and Jabba the Hutt was through the drywall making love to Chewbacca. I think that's what that was. That was no queef. That was Star Wars perversion. Star Wars Motel 6 yeah. pervert sex.
If Chewbacca.
Like, dude.
Now, is it actual Chewbacca or a guy dressed as Chewbacca?
Probably a guy, a truck driver dressed as Chewbacca.
It's
always
got to be a truck driver.
Yeah, always.
I just was talking to a guy on Instagram.
No way.
Who drives trucks and was, you know, thanking me for the comedy
that
we provide.
Truck drivers love podcasts, don't they? Yeah.
Speaking of the Harlan Highway, think about all the highways, the Harlan Highway right. is getting listened to on.
Yeah.
And so I started asking him, you know, what trucks he drives, how long. I mean, man, what a job. I don't know if you ever, when you, you know, are on the road and you pass by a truck, whether it's filled with cars or bread or, you know, butt plugs or whatever they're trying to get, you know, to Rancho Cucamonga by 5 p.m.
Right, right.
I'm always like, where's that guy been and where's yeah. he headed and when is he going to get there?
Yeah.
And based on this guy telling me, he's like, oh, I'll drive sometimes. You know, it'll. I think he said there was like I want to say you can't drive more than 2 days straight, but he's like pushed it sometimes, pounding Red Bulls, whatever, and gone like 4 days with like a couple stops.
Whoa.
A couple power naps.
Yeah.
Oof.
And so I've heard some of these guys, and I don't want to badmouth truck drivers, but this is something I've heard. I can't verify. I heard sometimes they take little pills or speed to keep them like riveted alert, at the wheel.
Awake. Because I think
is that for real?
Oh, yeah. And I think there's also incentive, you know, to get to where they're going quicker, probably. I'm sure there's little, you know, bumps here and there in the pay world.
Yeah.
Mark Saratella, shout out to Mark Saratella. He has a great joke where he goes, I just read this new stat that American truck drivers 78% of American truck drivers are on crystal meth, which means 72% of American truck drivers are giving 110%. Pretty good joke. Yeah, it's Mark Saratella.
Nice, nice. Yeah, that's not an easy job.
Not a job I don't think you could pay me enough to do.
Yeah, and people don't, you know, I'll be honest, when I was a kid, when I was going to high school, one of my dreams was to be a truck driver, because much like comedy, which is what we do, stand-up comedy, once you leave that office with your rig, you really got no boss. Mm. You're rolling down the road. You're going through cities. You're going through beautiful mountains. You're going through prairies. You see wildlife. You stop when you want to stop for a burger, or you want to stop for a milkshake or fries, you stop. If you want to pull over and watch a moose walk across a river, like to me, there was a real enchantment to being a truck driver.
Sure.
And I always loved the prospect when I was a kid being in school where everything was so orderly and you had to study English and math and this and that. I thought, I don't have to know any of this stuff to drive a truck.
Yeah.
And I'm just out there on the road and I can roll the window down. Like there was a real, I really romanticized to the point where I'm not even kidding. When I was in grade 10 and 11, I would dress like a truck driver because I literally thought it's what I was going to segue into. I wore a down vest, like one of those down, like ski vests.
Yeah.
I had like a trucker hat. I wore work boots. And sometimes I'd be at school thinking I outsmarted everyone. I was like, yeah, I failed the biology test. What do they know? I'm going to be hauling turnips down Route 73 one day, you know?
Yeah.
Like this was going through my head.
Wow.
Yeah, because I was one of these guys who couldn't fathom the concept of being under someone's thumb and having a boss. And I thought, what freer thing is it? But now that I'm older, like you said, these guys have to be at a certain destination at a certain time.
Yeah.
I'm sure the faster they get there, the more moolah they get. Maybe their produce has got an expiration date. So it's not as easy as it seems. But when I was a kid and just thought all you do is drive around, I was like enchanted with it.
There is a freedom to being on the road.
Yeah.
And you're right. The travel aspect for a comedian is there is a, you know, like you said, being enchanted by it. It feels very like there's so much to absorb and the lack of structure, I think, that you enter into that that is the opposite of what school is providing. I like how you said being under someone's thumb.
Yeah.
You just reminded me of this kid I went to elementary school with, Dustin Brody. He was like the school bully.
Oh,
he
yeah.
used to kill insects by pressing his thumb on them.
Really?
Yeah. It's a weird way to do it.
And then one day he pressed one on like a bee and got stung, and that was the end of that? Or
I hope so. No, he was pretty resilient. I mean, he would do, this guy could take a lot.
This guy was a real insect killer.
He was the guy that would yell back at the teacher and even like ruffle their feathers a bit, right? Like if Mrs. Watkins was like, Dustin, you know, stop pulling your pants all the way down to take a pee in the bathroom.
Right.
We're hearing rumors about it.
Yeah.
And he would go, up yours, Mrs. Watkins.
Whoa.
She'd go, oh, God.
That seems like she got aroused. Like that, it's almost borderline, almost queefed. Like you were right on the edge of a Captain Queef, I thought. Hey, shut up. I'm trying to sleep. I've been hauling onions all day. Sick. But did you ever, as a stand-up comedian, yeah. was that ever a consideration for you? Like, what you know, obviously we love comedy. Traveling. No, just like the concept of having a career oh, yeah. and a professional life where you weren't, you had a lot of freedom. You could kind of wake yes. up late. You could yes. work at night. You 1,000. Could see the country, see the world,
yes.
perhaps.
Yes, there were classes I even, it's why I love just, you know, drama and acting school, because it just felt... it just felt fun, and just the ability to like play around still, and there's still, I don't know, even with acting, it's like, you know, you're getting taught certain, you know, ways to do things, and
yeah.
here's an approach, and here's something to think about, but never ever like, this is what you have to do.
Yeah, right.
Everyone's coming in. I remember Jason Alexander, George from Seinfeld, came in and guest professed my senior year at SC.
Wow.
Or sophomore year, and yeah. he gave a scene study class, and I remember him teaching certain ways of like, you know, of having thoughts before each joke, and really like just every joke has, you have a thought and like a purpose of why you're saying it, how you're saying it.
Yeah.
And it was really calculated. And so you're looking at a guy like, I mean, he seems like a guy to probably trust, but he would say some stuff. And I remember one kid, you know, didn't do it the kind of way he was suggesting.
Right.
And he kind of called out Jason Alexander, and he was like, I don't really want to do it that way. And I remember Jason Alexander being like, yeah, what the fuck do I know? I was just on the best show of all time.
Whoa.
I was like, oof. Yeah.
Captain Queef rides again.
Right to the gullet.
Wow. Well, one of the things I really loved when I started entertaining the concept of going into the entertainment industry, I always had this fantasy because, you know, we grew up watching movies where, you know, it was a war movie in Vietnam, or it was the Jungle Queen in Africa, yeah. or it was you know, something in New York. And so I always had this wonderful concept that as an actor, if I was able to make a career of it, you know, a few times a year, I'd get to go to some exotic location in the world and shoot for 7 weeks. I'm in Hawaii. And yeah. then, I mean, you just did a whole project where you got to shoot in Australia yeah. for like 2 months.
Would never, I don't know when I would go there. If I,
yeah.
And this was the second time I got to go there. And
amazing.
Yeah. And,
like the, you literally, sorry to interrupt, the other side of the world. You yeah. got to go because of acting. And that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Suddenly you're in this place that you might never even considered going.
I do love that about it. And the yeah. time when I opened for you, I mean, some of the places we got to go to and would vent. You also have to have a thirst and a zest to venture out.
Yeah.
And see.
Yeah.
And even, and I think there's a lot to chalk up to even going to a mall in a city, which we, you know, when we were in Minnesota and had the Mall of America, right?
Yeah.
there, that was a great place to fart around. But like even going into little town centers and going to a movie, there's a lot to gather of a place
yeah.
just from that experience. Cause yeah. you're getting all walks of life. It's like the airport or anywhere else where you're a movie theater, you're getting people from all shapes and sizes and just coming into the theater to swallow their popcorn and choke on their soda. And one of my favorite places I went to, I never thought I would go to, is yeah. Alaska.
I've never been, by the way. I've been all over the world, never been to Alaska.
Captain Queef's never been to Alaska.
I've never queefed all over a grizzly bear. I've never queefed on the ice caps. I've never held up a halibut and queefed on its flat, stupid face where its eyes are on the top of its stupid head. Why not just be born a pancake? Why you got to pretend you're alive and live at the bottom of the cold ocean? Please continue, Alaska. Son of a, I should queef on you right now.
I was about to.
This close.
I was about
this
to interject when you go, I've never queefed, on, held up a halibut and queefed on its head. I was about to go, you will.
You will.
Who's that?
I will.
Alaska feels like a place Harlan Williams would have frequented many a time.
I know, because I'm a nature guy.
You are. And yeah. It is, oh man, dude. We should book a gig and go up there together.
Is there? Do they do comedy
yes.
there?
There's a
What's
couple
there?
Places. Well, the place I went to was about... We might be coming up on 10 years ago, which was I was only about 5 years in.
But okay.
It was awesome. It was called Chilcoot Charlie's. And it was.
Say that again now?
I don't know if you can still say this. Don't cancel me. Chilcoot Charlie's.
Also the name of a young Eskimo boy I know. Chukatali, yeah. Great caribou skinner. I mean, this guy got a caribou. And, yeah, unbelievable blow. Yeah. Okay, so you're at
Chilcoot Charlie's.
Or as we say here in the rest of the lower 52, Chuck E. Cheese. yeah. It's the Eskimo Chuck E. Cheese. They don't have a rat. They have a walrus. Hi, kids. Come here and let me stick my tusks through your fucking face. Sorry. I don't know where the anger comes from. I queefed. Please. Continue.
I'm having my next birthday party at Alaskan Chuck E. Cheese.
Are you? Yeah.
Come for the pizza, stay for the walrus queef.
Yeah. By the way, there's a new Chuck E. Cheese in Florida called Fuck on Your Knees. And it's more of an adult Chuck E. Cheese, but you might want to try Fuck on Your Knees, too. The mascot isn't a rat, it's a priest, but whatever you want. Keep going, Alaska. So you're in Alaska. What happened, kid?
I'm in Alaska. Oh man, I'm at the Eskimos boys circumcision, and I'm getting ready to do stand up.
Yeah,
and this is a bar that apparently has been there for like 70 years.
Oh, so it wasn't an actual comedy club.
No,
now, just so you know, comedy people, Adam and I have been doing this a long time. There's gigs where you go to a club and it's a brick and mortar club. It's the Improv or it's the Laugh Factory. And then you get places, they say, oh, come to our comedy club. And you get there and it's not a comedy club. It's a My Big Fat Greek Wedding banquet hall, sure. Or it's a beer. And this sounds like it's one of those.
Yes, where it's a bar where they've made a makeshift stage and sound system.
The worst.
I'll be honest, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Good, okay.
When I saw it, I go, oof. But they...
You did what now?
What's that?
You did what? You said, oof.
What did I say?
Well, you said I blah 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 blah, and I said oof. And I'm just wondering, was that technically a queef? Because it's your either you got kicked in the stomach by a football player just now that I didn't see, or you fucking queefed, Daddy.
Is it oof a queef?
I think it's. It even sounded like, and I don't know if this is a brand, but it sounded like a sandpaper queef. It was a little itchy. Came out a little itchy, guy.
You got some Robitussin?
I will in a minute. What? Here, let me. Here.
No, I don't take Tussin from under the table.
Here's some Vaseline. Oh, how about that?
Oh my God! Yeah. Close enough. Yeah. Pure petroleum jelly. That's what she said. Now, I was in Chilcoot Charlie's.
They've got,
I think there's 10 different bars in this bar. Here's the appeal.
Oh
place.
God!
Been for 70 years, so they have a room where there was like a massive earthquake in like 1964, and one of the rooms got like tilted and was like underground. And that bar's cool. Like they call it like the bird room. They've got a bunch of like dead birds in it.
Wait, it's underground by accident?
Yes. It survived the earthquake, and it's got like this where you walk in and then it's just lower and on a tilt.
And nobody from the city said, maybe we should shut this underground tilted disaster waiting to happen down.
No, they said, let's add more marinara and let's fucking put in a comedy club.
They do things a little bit different up there in Alaska now, boys and girls.
Yeah. Well, their mayor is a moose. And so, wet it in some laughter. And so there's...
Oh, hold on. I can give you some laughter. Okay, it's in. I have a little button. If you have your cans on, you can hear it. You just got a huge laugh, dude. Do you want some applause, too?
Sure. Here, let me...
You just got, like, everyone's cheering.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you. Yeah, it's my first time in Alaska, and boy, it's true what they say. The ketchup tastes a little different up here.
And the mayor's a moose. and suck my queef. How about a hand for that? Okay. So
I did make a joke about, because they shoot mooses up there. Mises? Moose? They shoot the moose.
Mice. I think they shoot mice.
And I go, boy, you guys really just got it going on for these guys that I don't know what they've done to you. What, do they challenge you to a staring contest and now you want to end their life? Dead silent. And then afterwards, the guy's like, yeah, you might want to take it easy with them moose jokes. This isn't how
really
at all. But again, going along with your...
They were actually moose sensitive.
Dynasty, moose sensitive, which is a thing now. Hashtag moose sensitive.
Yeah.
And so they're up there. Wow. The guy's like, you better watch your damn moose jokes.
Whoa, dude.
People up here in Alaska, dude, we like to kill mooses. It's how we make our food. It's how we make our chicken.
Yeah.
Okay, when KFC runs out of chicken, we replace it with moose tenders.
Sure.
You dip it in moose sauce. You go down to a strip club. You ask for Mrs. Moose. She comes out wearing a fucking hump. And she dry humps your hump.
Wow.
Just all sorts of moose-related activities.
Yeah, you stepped on a landmine.
The point being, they are highly revered creatures. And yeah, to be killed. They're like, don't you talk about us. What we do with our mooses is our... What happens in Alaska stays in our mooses fucking, you know.
Bro, I'm not into hunting. I don't like hunting. Well, it's
that's
cruel.
Why I was making fun of it. I was like, what are you doing to these guys?
But with a moose, oh, I mean, come on. When you're an animal where your nut bag is hanging from your throat.
Sure.
And not between your back legs. When you have the audacity to dangle your hairy moose balls from your throat...
Get ready to hit that laugh button.
Oh, the laugh button. Here we go. You might need a bullet between the eyes. When your shadow is teabagging you.
You might be a redneck.
You might be a moose neck right there. Do you know what that's called, by the way? That big sack.
Teabag throat?
That's probably what it is in the city.
Original TBT.
But in real life, do you know what that... The male moose has a big dangling thing, yeah. Hairy... Do you know what it's called?
It's like their Adam's apple. But what is
it but it looks like a ball sack.
What is it?
It's called a bell.
For real?
A moose bell, wow. Yeah.
And what is it... what's the purpose of it?
To keep their balls warm and close. There's a lot of cold up there, yeah. So they can just go like that, and on a real cold day, they can flip their nuts into their mouth and keep them warm.
It does always make me... It does always make me...
Hang on. I definitely need a laugh. And that laugh was just to cover up my queef.
Is that the name of your next special?
It is. Cover up my queef.
There is something really awesome about creatures that end up at... Like, a moose... Like, who decided that it would start or be created or exist in Alaska, right? I feel like that's right. Probably the origin location. Like,
okay, I'll go with that.
Like, a moose, like, it didn't start in Africa, right?
There's none in Africa.
Like, it's a creature that can tolerate the chilly temperatures. And
extreme cold.
And is built to be able to, like you said, throw, like, that little cup you try to, the ball you try to flip into the cup.
Yeah.
It does that with his balls into its mouth, like you said, to keep his nuts warm.
Yeah, just
he's designed to be around cold temperatures.
Yeah, yeah.
So the fact that it didn't end up in Africa is crazy. That just worked out like that. I don't know.
Well, you know what's weird, and I get your theory, and it make perfect sense. But then you cut to the camel, which is almost as maybe could be bigger than a moose for all I know. Some of those camels are gigantic,
enormous.
They've got just as much thick hair. Yeah. But they've been engineered to live without water, but not permanently, but they can go a long amount of time without water. But that still doesn't delineate the fact that they have all this fur and they've got this massive frame and they're walking around in sand dunes that are, 120. The air's burning. But yet, so it's weird. I wonder if a camel... I think I know the answer to this, actually, because I grew up in Toronto. And at the Toronto Zoo, they had camels, and they would put them out in the winter. So I guess a camel can tolerate cold, but I see what you're saying. It's funny how each animal has its place.
Would a camel prefer, if given the opportunity, to take a one-way ticket to some chillier, tundras?
Yeah, probably. I think it would. Fuck. If it could get like business class and stretch its hump out.
I think a camel's a little bit of a... hoity-toity traveler.
Bit of a prima donna. I mean, when you can drink water from your own ass flap, I mean, you deserve a little special
treatment. You don't want to have to pay for cocktails. Is that what you're saying? By the way.
Hang on. Hold on. We need a laugh.
I would pay top dollar to see you teach just at a zoo, by the way.
Yeah.
Here's a great movie for you, Har.
Okay, here we go.
I don't know what, I don't know the premise yet, but yeah. It opens on you because I was just at the San Diego Zoo a month ago.
Okay.
And the San Diego Zoo has just really done a wonderful job adding in-house entertainment. The animals are like an afterthought now.
What?
There was a cover band up there.
Oh, no.
It was awful. There was a woman that like, you know, the Lion King Broadway show, they have like people that have like, you know, they've got a thing where they can operate like a rooster in the fucking Serengeti, a peacock or a rhinoceros.
Yeah.
Woman with like a rhinoceros. But the woman who was wearing the rhino outfit.
Yeah.
You know, she had like the rhino hat like this, and then she had the rhino, the rhino hips.
Yeah.
So when she walked, it looked like a rhino. But the woman who was manipulating the rhino puppet, I'm sorry, but you got to pick, you have to either have someone with like a ski mask on.
Yeah.
So that you're not looking at the person, or pick someone who wasn't running, who didn't just win the biggest gums in America.
No.
She couldn't stop smiling, and her gums couldn't stop trying to escape her jaw. It was the biggest mouth gum combo I've ever seen since I went to Bubba Gum Shrimp.
Wow.
I had that Bubba Gum Festival.
Yeah.
It was just, and so I wouldn't even look at the rhino. Yeah. I'm just looking at this woman who's pretending to be a rhino. So that's, now it's just doubly sad.
Nothing worse than giant gums. Yeah.
and you're dressed as a rhino. So we're just like, we started hypothesizing. We're like, God, what if like she met a Tinder date and that guy, she goes, meet me at the zoo. And he goes, I love that. And he shows up and he's like texting her, where are you? And then he looks up and sees her dancing around as the rhino. What do you think he does? Do you think he just texts her like, hey, I couldn't find you, or something came up? Or does he, if that initial moment happens and he sees her, hey, Bethany, Daniel, he's like, you work here.
Wow.
I do.
Or you might be in a scenario because a lot of lonely, desperate perverts
he's
are
got
on
a rhino
Tinder.
Fish.
He sees a rhino and he goes, holy shit, she's already horny. Thank you. Isn't that funny? That's why I do comedy. That's why I do it. Yeah, that's why.
Really?
I was going to be a truck driver, but I do that.
Can I be honest?
No. Yes. Yes, be honest.
As much as you just, that'll be a fart in the wind on this podcast.
Yeah.
It there is something to be said about everything you've done up until this point prepared you to be able to hear my shitty, with no ending, zoo, Tinder date, big gum, dressed up as a rhino story.
Right.
And you buttoned it. You listened.
Yeah.
This should be a lesson to anyone out there who's thinking about comedy.
Ooh,
or is in
here
comedy.
We go. Here
the
we go.
The importance of listening.
Mm-hmm.
In acting, comedy, you and I both do crowd work.
Yeah.
I studied from the best. Well, I mean, 1,000%. When I started doing it, Har, I think I've said this before, but I was watching you when I first hosted for you at Laughs in Kirkland.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And you were just so brilliant, still are. And I go, when did you start doing it? Because I want to.
Crowd work, you mean?
It's so fun. And I'll never forget it. You told me, you go, I was, and unless your answers changed or I made this up, I was on pills the whole weekend. But you go, I was always afraid to do it.
Yeah.
It was like a thing that I was scared to do. So I started, and there's some version of this answer. You said, I started doing it to kind of like conquer that fear. But because every time I would start doing it, I was just not comfortable and I wanted to get comfortable with it.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Okay.
And the other part was I was terrified to do it when I started doing stand-up.
Yes.
And that's the part you're remembering. But before I even got on stage for the first time and did actual professional stand-up, in my head, I said to myself, I want to be able to just do crowd work. I want to be able to test myself, see how funny I can be without any pre-planned material. Can I walk out and walk into a room full of strangers and make them laugh just as much? And so I always knew I wanted to do it. And it was scary getting there because, you know, when you're doing crowd work, as you know, you got no net. You're on a, you got nothing. You don't even have a tightrope. You have zero and you go,
and everyone's
here
waiting
we go.
For you to fuck up. I mean, they're just anticipating you're not going to be funny.
It's right. Yeah.
And you have to, you're controlling the moment, the room, everyone's just, I mean, literally, and it's a timing thing.
Yeah.
You also can't, you know, what I found is like I just said, to piggyback on it, the listening thing and gaining and gathering information so that you can really, but it takes a minute to get comfortable to trust yourself to A, build a moment. Mm-hmm. Sit in silence is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
I still am always trying to, and you have just such a you know, great pace and the way that you just kind of take your time, I'm still always trying to implement. But
thank you, man.
But crowd work, I think, allows you to settle into that.
Trying
to take what happens with the crowd work and put it into my actual act, because you can't rush things. And you do have split seconds to say or not say
something.
Or give an extra beat on something. Or something happens and everyone erupts. And then you're like, what am I going to come right back in with that's going to like take it up?
And doesn't it make it so exciting? Like as a comedian, it makes it so exciting because it's almost like you're purposely throwing yourself into the fire. You know it could go south any second, but you're making the conscious decision to go, okay, I'm going to go at it with the crowd in real time, no material prepared, and just boom. And for me, it creates adrenaline and excitement. Yes. And it doesn't always work, but sometimes it works amazing.
Yes.
I did one recently. You've probably seen it. I posted it on, but sometimes you get ones that you just love and they happen just like that. And I think you've seen this one. I put it on Instagram, but I said to a lady, I go, what do you do, ma'am? And she goes, oh, I'm a hostess. And right away I just went, oh, a Twinkie or a ding dong. And it just, like, even as I was saying it, I went, how did that happen? It was so fun. And you knew the crowd, but it happened in less than a blink of an eye. And when you get those nuggets, they're just the best.
And by the way, you got the laugh you got because you fired right back. If you
immediately
had taken a beat and thought, everyone would have been like, well, I could have thought of that.
Right.
Like, that's just enough time to go like, they think of it before you do.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
It's not as powerful.
That's right, yeah.
You came in with it before they could even think of it.
And that's why I'm boasting about that one, because it's almost as we're talking right now, there was not even a millisecond. It was like, that's she awesome. Said hostess and I said Twinkie or a ding dong. Yeah. And when that happens, honestly, in my head, I kind of take a beat afterwards. I go, thank you, God. Like,
totally.
Those are like little gifts.
Yes.
And that's what makes it fun for me. But now, that being said, sometimes you do a line and it's like completely the room it's like dragging an anchor over a coral reef. It's a night. But so that's why I like the great ones so much, because when they hit, it's such a payoff.
Well, I think so. That horny joke was great. And you in a zoo, A, you already just love animals.
Yeah.
And force of nature. Force or forces of nature, you're special.
Force of nature.
Force of nature, we can get on Amazon right now. Harlan's great special that
he
did out in the desert with some creatures of the world.
Yeah.
I don't know, like 5 to 10 creatures.
Well, what happened is I did Force of Nature up on a hill in the desert with no audience, and we took a tortoise. We took an actual tortoise and let it walk around while I was doing my act.
Yeah, yeah.
But while I was doing my act, a couple of wild dogs, apparently the deserts, I read up on it out in Palmdale and out in the desert north of Los Angeles. There's tons of wild dogs. People leave there. I've seen whole packs of dogs running around out there, like 16 at a time.
Wow.
Like, they're actually a thing. And so while I was doing my set up on this hill in the middle of nowhere, two wild dogs just wandered up and wandered through, and I was talking to them, and it was beautiful. I loved it.
Yeah, it's a great special. And it just furthers your relationship with animals. And so you in a zoo...
Yeah.
I feel like the way you were describing the camel that drinks water out of its ass flap.
Yeah.
I just like, they have people in the zoo in different stations.
Oh, okay.
That are giving like mini, not tutorials, but just like they're fat givers. They're just standing on a podium in little spots around the zoo with a mic. And like in front of the reptile station, and you just walk by and you hear just passing sound bites of like, nah, nah, and that's when the boa constrictor learned how to come, you know? And then you're like, well, I didn't feel like the thing to say at 2 p.m. Then you walk back by, you know, nah, 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 and that's how the tiger got its name.
Just so I'm clear and people don't think we had a little sound blip or anything, the boa constrictor came.
Oh, you need to go to the San Diego Zoo and book a ticket to the reptile
sex house? Yeah, okay, great. I can't wait to see an iguana and a fucking beaded lizard in a 69 position eating fucking Yahoo out of a fucking 7-Eleven milk jug bottle or whatever. I don't even know what I just said. Queef.
You as a zoo, not a zookeeper. We've seen that movie.
Yeah.
You and working the zoo, like you're one of the fat givers. You're one of the offhand employees.
Right, right,
not,
right.
It's not even like a Dr. Doolittle movie, although yeah. you'd be great in one of those. But it just takes the backdrop of you, almost like the way in, what's the movie? Role Models with Sean William Scott and Paul Rudd.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, they're like motivational speakers for kids. No, they work for that, like a Monster Energy type thing.
Yeah.
They go around to schools trying to pitch the product and be like, yeah. get the, whatever. The zoo is just our launching pad.
Yeah.
This is the guy that, this is what he does. And then it's, maybe you meet the girl there too, and then yeah. she sees you doing it and bounces.
You know what's interesting? Because you hit the nail on the head. I love the zoo. I love the environment. I love animals. And an incarnation of what you're saying sort of drifted around in my head yeah. back in the 90s. Like it wasn't specific in any way, but I thought, God, I really love animals, and I actually developed a movie that someone else ended up kind of doing. I don't know if it was stolen from me or what. But in the zoo world...
George of the Jungle?
I was offered that movie, actually. That's another story. But this was a movie called Zookeeper
yep.
by Kevin James.
Yes.
They ended up doing a movie. Remember, they did yes. a movie called, I yes. think it's called Zookeeper, yes. where he is that kind of comedy guy at a zoo.
Yeah.
And I think I saw a part of the movie and it didn't really work. And it's not a knock on Kevin. It's just some movies yeah. kick ass yep. and some, that one kind of. But I was a little bummed because, as you said, that is such a rich environment. And to throw in an animal nerd or some kind of guy and stuff just starts going wacky at a zoo. But somehow, whatever they did with Zookeeper didn't really make it. But
I think there's a kid version of that
yeah.
story. But I think the more adult comedy yeah. that's almost even a rom-com of you
yeah.
being there. Because
good idea.
I had flashbacks to when I worked at Albertsons, the grocery store, and the cast of characters that helped to fill out that setting.
Yeah.
I just, in a 5-minute span, I saw 8 different jobs from 17 different types of people that was like, that in a place where everyone has been to or is going to go to. So it's like you have this relatable, you know, location.
And yeah.
I just, you know, same with a grocery store. There's just like an endless amount of, I feel like you could also do, the way that Mallrats was one of my favorite movies.
Oh, yeah.
Everything
yeah.
at the mall. I Great. Love those movies yeah. where we don't leave that spot.
Yeah.
And you literally, or Adventureland, like with the theme park.
Yeah.
Even though I think they bounced out a few times. But I like movies like that where you could.
I got to do
American
a movie
Summer
like.
In the zoo. Let's, how about
okay,
that?
Okay, there you go. Yeah, I got to do a movie like that with Dane Cook and Jessica Simpson, Employee of the
Great.
Month, where we shot almost the entire movie inside a Costco.
It was a Costco you shot it at?
Yeah, it was a Costco That's in so Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it was a blast. But I know what you mean. Those are neat environments with such specific, quirky people with specific jobs, and it's not just the jobs; it's the egos that go with the yes. jobs. It's the personalities.
Yes.
It's the status. It's the pecking order, and it's a fun examination. It's kind of like a microcosm of the whole human society under a roof.
Yeah.
You know,
and the comedy really you're resting on the cast and the you know, the characters that you are providing for this movie, because
yeah.
if you only have this one spot and you can't go anywhere, it's like, all right, let's a hilarious scene in front of the service deli with the gal giving the kid potato salad that she gave a weird hand job to, and now he won't text her back. Am I speaking
dude,
from personal
dude.
Experience? Maybe. I don't know what we're talking about.
You had to put potato salad and hand job together. Why you got to do that to me? I got
this is my life.
I got a lot of years to live. I did not need that imagery. Now
did I just ruin your barbecue.
You ruined a lot of things. You're a long list of things. You ruined potato salad, picnics, the deli counter at Ralph's, my dad when I shower him, and your sister's forehead. And I don't know why, but you did. Now, speaking of queef, if I can go back to it, there's another word that sounds like queef, and it's called verschlang. Oh, and at this point of the show, we have a little treat, a little insert. You know, earlier, you were, what was that rap thing you were doing? You were saying
mofo
or what? Yeah. What were you saying?
I was trying to say
but you're saying mofo or something, morpho, some rap thing. And you wouldn't look at Adam or I and go, these guys can rap. But here's where you're wrong, because right after you queef, another sound comes out and it's fushlang. And I would like to present to you right now that me and Adam did an episode of a show called Fushlang that I kind of made up. And if you want to see some hot rap... do you want to throw to the clip now?
So this is filmed in Bellevue, Washington, outside the Parlor Live Comedy Club, RIP, where Harlan and I were performing, and about 30 minutes from where I grew up, about 28 minutes from where I got that potato salad handy, and about 42 minutes away from my parents, from where my ferret parents split up.
Yeah.
I was raised by ferrets. Let's cut to the clip.
It's obvious. Here it is, Adam and I, Fushlang.
Hey peeps, what's up? It's Harlan Williams here, and I'm on the set for another amazing stunt on Fushlang. I mean, this one's gonna be like a total eclipse of the heart, like thunder pop. Today we're doing a stunt that's crazy. I'm here with my sidekick on Fushlang. This is Adam Ray, right here.
Scorch the beef
and grind the meat. And today we're doing something, and you can't do it at home, peeps, players. I don't know if you know what this is, but this is a ping pong paddle, and today we're doing something off Fushlang we ain't never none's done. We're doing a song, and it's going to be called the Ping Pong Song. Right, player?
Scorch the beef.
Well, now you've said it twice. The Ping Pong Song. Get ready, because we're going to drop it.
We going to drop it.
Yeah.
We're playing ping pong out in the street. Street! Street! We're playing ping pong and we're eating smoked meat.
Excellent.
We're playing ping pong in front of a house.
House.
A house.
We're playing ping pong inside of your mouth. We're playing ping pong all over the place.
We're playing ping pong up in your face.
Yo,
playing with the paddles, cause you know that's cool.
We're even using paddles when we're shooting pool.
The ladies all love us, summer, spring, or fall.
They always have access
to our ping pong balls.
Ping pong balls.
One more time.
Ping pong balls.
Ping pong balls.
Balls. Balls. Balls. Balls. Ping pong balls.
Ping
pong.
Ping pong.
Ping pong.
Ping pong.
Ping pong.
Ping pong balls.
Ping pong balls, Biot. Woo!
Just a cool game and it's got no catch.
The girls in South Korea.
Yo.
Blow it out this.
Yo. So step back, motherfuckers.
It's the ping pong song.
And if you don't like it,
take it in the ding dong. Wow, Fushlang.
Still relevant.
Wow, still relevant. I mean, I think, goodbye Eminem. Fuck yeah, you. Dude,
sorry, right? Man. You had a good run. Snoop, hey, man.
Yeah.
We know you got your own rosé now, but fist to the face.
There's the a new boys are town. Back in town. The new boy, the boys are the ping pong brothers. Wow. It's funny because we were up there doing stand-up together. That's your hometown, as you mentioned. And, yep. And before we go, you know, we've been doing stand-up so long. We still do it here in Hollywood. We see each other all the time. And what's great is we get to watch each other's acts and we get to see guys try new bits. And is there a bit that haunts you, or it could have been something that's even recent? Is there a stand-up comedy bit that you conceived laying in bed one night or at the gym or whatever, and you go, oh, my God, the barbecue fire starter thing. This is going to be great. And it could be anything, but is there a bit that you went up on stage and you thought it was a home run, and for whatever reason, it didn't click, and you go, okay, I'll try it 3 or 4 more times, and it never worked. It never really got off the ground, and you were bummed or you were confused because it really, your comedy sensibility said to you, this is going to kill. Is there one that just never could get off the ground?
Yes.
What is it? I want to hear it.
Well, when I first started stand-up in 2007, somebody told me, you know, you got to have some jokes that are like personal things to help open you up to the audience and let them know who you are a little bit. Because I think right out of the gate, I was doing a lot of observational stuff with no real emotional attachment, you know, dumb jokes about, like, you know, NyQuil, that slogan's a little misleading, you know, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing stuff, he had fever so you can rest medicine. Yeah, you can rest after you hallucinate for 45 minutes. I took 2 of those little Matrix pills last night. I had a dream I was a cheetah running a daycare. And, and so I do stuff
not
like
bad.
That.
Hang on. Yeah.
Great. Where was that 15 years ago? And so, no, that would get some good laughs, but there was nothing about, you didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, let me do some stuff. So I would do this joke. I'd come out, I go, man, it's great to be here. This room feels a lot like my Little League games because my dad's not here. And that would always get not what I wanted. I thought I would get a great laugh and it would be a good opener. Never hit like I wanted it to. And then I would double down and talk about my folks splitting up. I go, you know, a lot of kids think that they were the cause of the divorce, you know, and which is just sad and shitty and you know, is the case about 85% of the time. But then I would say, you know, it's never the kid's fault. It's usually when folks got bullshit going on. I go, the fact that some parents say that it was because of the kids is insane to me. Like, I've never heard of a dad being like, all right, look, Billy, here's how it's going to go down. Either you're going to get a B in social studies this year, or I'm going to cheat on your mom. I'm like, Dad, well, you know, social studies is my worst subject. Well, it looks like I better get some condoms. And that would also not hit like I wanted to. This was 15 years ago. And I was like, so then that kind of put and I would always do it. And I would rework different things that the dad would say that the kid thought, you know, for that, that was why the
it's a great cheated. Premise.
Yeah. Just like, you know, again, like it's not the kid's fault. So here's, I've never heard this happen because of, and this is what resulted in the divorce and the dad putting it on the kid.
Yeah. The kid's the victim now, which is funny. Yeah.
And I just couldn't find, you know, and I mean, I was performing in front of mostly widows. So I think that was, I might've had something to do with it.
Yeah, those funeral parlor gigs are really tough to get a giggle.
They're
a lot
tough.
Of crying and that crying. Corpse is always in the corner of your eye.
Yeah, and like
smells
in the corner of its eye because always like that. You know, the family was always like, we want to, you know, open casket, open eyes.
Yeah, and, open legs. Open too. Those are always hard.
Can you imagine
when they do the showing and the legs are open? Just so I went to Rod Stewart's funeral, spread eagled with girls Calvin Klein jeans on. Yeah, and I don't even think he's dead. I think he's still alive.
There's a list of people that people think have passed on that are still clicking and ticking. Speaking of the Eagles, I just saw a headline today. I'm going to bring this up and get your take. At an Eagles concert during Take It Easy, a brawl broke out.
Take It Easy?
I saw that. Yeah. I thought that was one of the funniest headlines.
Is that irony? Is that officially irony?
Yeah.
Before I get into the Eagles thing, I want to say, you know, hearing you do your bit about your parents the kid and everything. No, we'll go back to the Eagle thing. But I just wanted to comment on it that I visualize you, you know, I can pitch you up on the stage at the Comedy Store or whatever. Yeah. And I'll be honest, like if it was like a lumpy premise or it was kind of a stinker, I would say, yeah, I get why that didn't work. But I'm visualizing you doing it. I know your delivery. I know your cadence. And I'm surprised that one didn't work. But isn't that the majesty and the beauty of stand-up is you never know. And that's what keeps it interesting and mysterious. And
there is a trial and error of there's no comedy course or rule book to follow of do a joke this many times. And then if it doesn't work, don't do it.
Yeah.
You just decide for yourself. And especially when you're early on, like I was in trying that joke.
Yeah,
maybe I didn't have enough, self-assuredness and trust in myself.
Yeah, that could be it too.
Keep trying it.
Yeah,
or maybe I was just in a place where I decided if it doesn't work in the first few times, move on.
Yeah,
or I also probably attribute that I was trying to write so much that it was just the fact that it wasn't hitting like I wanted to, I was like, well, let me put the excitement that I had towards something else.
Yeah.
So that I can just kind of keep this moving and not get fixated on something that's clearly not resonating. But, I think you get more trusting in yourself as you get on and more seasoned. Like, I should try to dip back into that, not only because it is still a big part of I think who I am and just stuff that I don't talk about enough. And I think there is something in that now to revisit that I might be able
to. Well, what's rich about it, too, is it has a real deep emotional connection. Whether someone's parents are divorced or not, we were all kids. And kids are so sensitive to everything their parents do. And, of course, a divorce is just something really paramount in a young child's life. So I think it's worth revisiting. And that's the other fun thing about stand-up comedy, too. Sometimes you can do a bit. And 15 years later, it haunts you or you remember it and you go, you know what? It's 15 years later. Let me try it again.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you figured it out. Something, you've gotten better or you've found a new way to do it and you breathe new life into it. So maybe it is worth another chance.
It's interesting that you asked me that question and immediately I thought of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I knew there'd be something because we all have them.
Totally.
We all have them. Now going back to the Eagles thing.
Yeah.
That is funny. Like a fight broke out during Take It Easy. That's like going to see Meatloaf and, somebody throws a casserole at the stage. Is that the same thing?
It's
no.
Close, yeah.
Yeah, it's, not really.
It's like you go to, maybe you go to, Rod Stewart's funeral.
Yeah.
His legs are spread eagle.
Yeah.
And shares, what do you stink. Believe in love after life?
Life after love. Yeah.
So if it was love after life, and someone was going down on the corpse, maybe that and that's
going down on the corpse,
giving love after life.
So if I ever go to Cher's funeral, someone's going to be going down on Cher. Do you believe in cunnilingus after life?
If somebody had somehow put that into the playlist, do you have funeral playlists?
I would. Way. I don't want my funeral to be a dreary affair.
No. And I don't want sad music. I want
to
celebrate the night.
Yeah. I always said that somebody should start a new company to revolutionize the funeral industry.
Now, that's what I call funeral music, volume 48.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like make it a party. Make it a celebration. Make it so everyone's not so sad. But those are stories for another day.
Part two.
Adam Ray, I think we want to end on your comedy story. And when you come back, we want to see if you were able to repurpose that whole premise about the divorce thing.
I love it.
But before we go, ladies and gentlemen, I got to give Adam laughs and applause. And can we ask Adam where can people see you? What are you doing? Tell us about any projects. Your television project in Australia. We want to know about your Instagram, your Twitter. Your Adam has a wonderful, wonderful podcast as well. This is your moment. Let it rip, buddy.
So when I was 5.
Okay, and thank you very much. And if we could stick to. Let's not repurpose that bit here and now.
You know, when I get a little tongue-tied on a podcast trying to close things out on a high note, and I feel my lips getting a little buttery, it's time to lube up with some potato salad, hand job.
Newman's own.
You can find me at Newman's own. Potato salad hand. Yeah. It is Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram and Twitter. The podcast About Last Night, Spotify, iTunes, YouTube. Harlan is a legend ALN guest. Been on double digits times. Yeah. All of them crush.
Thank you. Me and Adam have been friends for a long time. We've toured together. We hang out together.
Podcast together for strangers.
Yeah. We go to movies. We go out. So it's great to have a good buddy here. And I hope you enjoyed Adam. And we'll certainly have him back if he behaves himself. And there's that queef. Fuck off.
I'm almost done.
Oh, God. On that note, thanks for being here on the Harland Highway. Until next time, be cool, don't queef, and chicken chow mein, baby.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.